You seek the key, but first you must learn the ways of precision, craft, and performance with Acura's all-electric ZDX. With a premium Bang & Olufsen sound system, up to a 313-mile range, and a Type S variant with an estimated 500 horsepower, the ZDX is their most powerful SUV yet. Unlock the energy when you visit Acura.com to order yours today.
On May 10th, Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes is coming to IMAX and theaters everywhere.
What a wonderful day!
This summer, one movie event will reign.
It is our time.
They stole my village.
I know where they're taking your clan.
Bend for your king.
Never.
Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Only in theaters May 10th. Tickets on sale now. Rated PG-13. Some material may be inappropriate for children under 13.
This isn't your average business podcast, and he's not your average host. This is the James Altucher Show. Today on the James Altucher Show.
I hope you listened to part one, but it doesn't matter. Uni Tarantini's on talking about loneliness, and in part one, I described my own loneliness, but in part two here, not only does Uni give more specific techniques about how to deal with loneliness, but we talked to Jay about his own unique loneliness being a foreigner here in the United States. I think this is so incredibly useful right now. Like, people are still locked down. I know a lot of people who have not been out of the house since March 13th, 2020, still. And so Jay, are you on the podcast?
Yeah.
So Jay, I wanted to ask you because, Jay, you live by yourself and New York City had one of the most harsh lockdowns. I know because I was there through most of the lockdown. And you know, you're dating someone, but she lives, you know...
An hour away.
Yeah, an hour away. And you haven't been able to see her as much as you would have liked.
Right.
Were you lonely during this lockdown?
Oh yeah, that's why I got my dog. That's why I got a dog during the lockdown. So hopefully to make myself not as lonely. Like, even though I talk to friends most of the time online, you know, like I play online game and stuff, talk to them. At some point, I still feel lonely because when I'm not playing, I just all by myself, you know, and I can't see James in person too.
Yeah, we see each other on Zoom though.
Yeah.
See me grow my beard. But like with the online stuff, do you feel like that while you're, let's say, talking to these people online, do you feel that that satisfies your loneliness, but it instantly shuts down as soon as you log out?
Yeah, it's, you're totally right on the front because like, yeah, we just talk about games and stuff and then that's it. You have nothing else to talk about. Like, I mean, I do know the person. You know, I don't know them. We just met through online, so we don't know them in person. I don't know them in person.
So, like what? I mean, you literally like would see or talk to nobody in person for how long? Like, what was the longest stretch during this time where you talked to nobody in person?
The whole lockdown.
The whole lockdown. You didn't.
The whole lockdown. Yeah.
Like, because you're not meeting anybody for coffee, or you're not really running into people in the street because everyone's like six feet away and masks and everything, and. So did that make you feel lonely?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I have to make a correction. It's like, it's the whole lockdown until I have my dogs, which is like in August or September. I get to go out, but I didn't see as many people. Like, we still stay far apart. I don't know anyone. So I technically didn't talk to anyone other than smile to them, but they can't see that I'm smiling because we're all wearing masks. So we can't really see each other's facial expression.
Did you get depressed?
Oh yeah.
I didn't even really know that you were depressed. Why didn't you tell me you were depressed?
I mean, I felt like depressed is not something that I could just tell anyone.
Yeah.
You know,
that's the problem with this. Yeah.
Yeah, and especially in Asian community, like I'm from Asian country. If you can't tell from my accent, but
it's written all over your face that you're Asian.
But in Asian, like having a depression, it's like almost like a disgrace a little bit back then. Now it's a little bit better.
Yeah, and so you got a dog.
Yeah.
But really you just sort of waited it out. Like what
I know.
You did what else did you do to kind of deal with depression or did you use any like online therapy or
not really. I should I should see therapy, but I haven't get any therapy yet. But the only thing I do is just watch TV, Netflix. You know, yeah, like so you, watch TV, play games, and play with my dog. That's it.
And you so, Uni, how much of that is just kind of, you know, just like the junk food of dealing with loneliness, like watching TV or playing games? Like I feel sometimes it's intellectually challenging, like a good story on TV or you play a creative kind of game. But a lot of times it's just junk food to avoid thinking about anything. Like I find when I have a bad day in life, I just sit there and mindlessly play games.
Yeah. Yeah, it's and that's how addiction works, right? It's to avoid dealing with our issues. But in the under the, you know, the lockdown, it's not like you really had a choice because you couldn't, you know, meet with people. It was really hard to even, you know, get out and meet people. I think here in Norway it was a bit different because we could walk outside and be together outside walking. I don't know how that was in New York, but at least we could do that. But it's really hard to just, and also what happens too with our brains is that when we don't use our social skills, we lose them. There's research that you know shows that in people who have been in social isolation for a long time, they don't know how to talk to people anymore after that. You kind of just lose, and you don't want to either. You get this like you long social connection, but you rather stay at home.
So it's like a muscle. It's like you have a social muscle that you practice during the day. So how can you practice that in these situations? How can you exercise that muscle so that you don't lose the ability to talk to people?
Absolutely. So I think in that case, I think it's important to, even in the, you know, when you're on Zoom with someone or you have a, like what I've done, for example, because some of my friends live far away, live in the US. And so what we do is that we try to have a regular, like every 2 weeks, we have a virtual coffee. And so we get on Zoom. It's a good idea, right? And then so we have a virtual coffee and it, you know, sometimes it's just 15 minutes. But it's like we do a little check-in. How are you doing? What's working in your life right now? What do you feel you need support on? We're super clear on the intention of what we're going to talk about, and then sometimes, you know, we need to talk more, so then we talk longer, and then sometimes it's just 10, 15 minutes. So I think it's a good idea to just have someone that you can do that with.
Jay, did you do that?
Well, I'm very bad with connecting with friends, so I didn't actually do that. We did it for, it's also a weird thing, it's when you have to like arrange everyone's schedule. You know, like, so we did it for
on
like
top of arranging
months.
My schedule, which is a drag, like half the time I don't show up.
Yeah. Well, we did it for like a couple months. I would say like 2 months top. And then after that, everything just fell apart. You know, especially when elections started happening and everyone just wanted to talk about politics. I want to talk about nothing.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't not exactly want to talk about politics. But you were right on the social, the muscle for socializing. Because I remember a friend of mine invited me to their apartment, I think during the winter when it's slowly opening up. I went to their apartment, you know, to have a dinner. I'm like, I don't know what to do now. Should I take off my shoes? Should I say hi? Should I shake hands? What is small talk? You know, we didn't talk about, there's no small talk because all you talk about is vaccine and weather. That's it. And politics, that's it.
So Uni, what else could he have talked about? Like, how do you kind of manufacture topics?
Talk about your dog.
Oh, yeah, that's the other thing that we're talking
that's
about.
That's so boring to me, though.
The whole time I was there because I brought my dog and they have a dog. So
I'm sick of hearing about his goddamn dog.
We just play with the dogs. And then I'm like, do I ask you about your work? Is that like private? Is that like, you know, am I stepping on boundaries? Should I ask you about your life?
What I have a really good thing that I like to bring up in social, you know, social meetings is to ask people if we can, you know, sort of around the table, whoever is there, to that each person tells us something they want us to know about themselves that most people don't know about them. can be anything,
that's,
right?
That's good, but I can't see Jay saying, hey, let's try this exercise. I want everybody here to tell me something about yourself that I don't know.
Yeah.
That,
yeah,
and something I could potentially judge you for.
Yeah.
I can't say, because I agree those exercises Twitter. Work, but sometimes it feels like if I'm in a dinner party and I've already been shut down, I can't suddenly say, hey, wait a second, here's an idea.
Yeah.
I want you all to go around the table and blah, blah, blah. Because then I'm afraid they're going to judge me. Oh, like, God, we already talking. Now he's interrupting us with this. And so I like that exercise, but I feel sometimes awkward doing that.
Yeah, that's true. It depends on the setting and who you're with, right? If you can do that or not. Absolutely. It's, you know, I'm not great on the small talk stuff. It's, you know, I hate it. I can do it, but it really drains me. So it's true that, you know, sitting around talking about stuff just to talk about something is not really, but then you can, like, I love talking about, you know, Netflix shows that I just watched or a book that I just read, right? Something like that, like I can bring up and like all the time, James, I talk about your book and I recommend it to people,
wow,
right?
Thank you very much.
Because we talk about the loneliness stuff when we talk about connection and we talk about, and people are stuck, right? And like, oh, what do I do now? And then I mentioned, well, you know, there's this guy, you know, James Altucher, and he recommends writing down 10 ideas every day. So I talk about it a lot, right? Because I think it's such a good tip. So I like to talk about books. You know, it can be your book, can be other people's books, but I think, you know, books and shows, you know, TV shows too, there are a lot of smart shows out there, a lot of, you know, funny, and it doesn't have to be always so intellectually heavy either. It can be like, you know, Ragnarok or you know, something silly and fun too.
Yeah, sometimes I like to go to extremes. Like, let's say they're a fireman. Yeah. I could say, what's the worst fire you've ever seen where no matter what you did, you couldn't put out the fire? And then I kind of find ways for them to tell stories.
Yeah.
So, and extremes are usually at those points. If I have a friend who's a urologist, I'll ask him, what is the absolute most shocking penis you've ever seen in, you know, when working as a urologist, not in your social life, but working as a urologist. And that usually leads to conversation, but then sometimes that runs out. I mean, this is kind of like a permanent problem. And so having a variety of tools to deal with it, like as you've mentioned in your writings and as you mentioned in your course, is very critical. And so, Jay, what would you do to kind of, would you just leave, or like, how would you start a conversation? This was your only time to be social. And you know, when you're going to leave, you might not see someone for weeks or months.
I usually just like, oh, what do you do? This is the easiest way for me, at least for me to know someone, because as like, I usually not judge people, but I usually open a conversation with what do you do? And then I will find, like James said, like I find a funny way to weave into, you know, like their work. So let's say if they're social manager, let's say if they're social media manager, I will like, oh, how many times have you been trolled by anyone? You know, like
troll.
Oh yeah.
Troll, yeah, by anyone. Or how many times have you banned a user, and what's the nastiest message you ever get from DM or whatever? So I usually just open with that. And then,
I like,
you know,
those questions.
Yeah.
Yeah, because like you just find the
oh
most
my God, I have great answers for those after the past 20 years.
I can imagine
years.
You do.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Yeah. And then just talk about movies and stuff. But the thing is, like, I have such a niche of hobby and interest. Like, no, I seldom meet someone that have exact same interest as me.
You know, Jay and I probably have a similar problem, which is that let's say I go to a dinner and there's a bunch of adults there who are my age, and then there's their children there. I often have more to say to the children because they're interested in Star Wars or comic books or games. And I don't really know anything about the insurance business or, you know, whatever people do for a living.
Yeah.
And so that sometimes is tricky, but I enjoy those. But Jay, you should have told me you were feeling more lonely. I had the reverse problem during the lockdowns because I live with, like, I have five kids. So It was like, everybody, just leave me alone. I need some downtime already. God, they're all coming in here. And also, I do a podcast. So I talk to people. I've talked during the lockdown, I've talked to hundreds and hundreds of people on Zoom like this.
Yeah.
And that really gives me, you know, and I only have people on my podcast who I enjoy talking to. And repeat guests are always the best. Uni, you're a repeat guest. And this has been my social interaction. It's not as powerful as in person, but I'm a little more awkward in person anyway. I like Zoom or you know, these types of conversations.
And this is a really great way to connect. And even if we're not doing it on a podcast, right? We can do it with people just, you know, organizing a little meet, you know, like I do, right? With a couple of my friends, you know, every other week or so. I think is a really, or every, you know, once a month or once a week however often we'd like to do it. But I think it's important to schedule it into our calendar and to prioritize making those connections.
Yeah, like I have a friend, and this is long before COVID, we used to meet for, we called it Skype lunches, where we would, if we hadn't seen each other in a while, I'd get my sandwich, bring it up to my office, he'd get his sandwich, bring it to his office, and we'd have a Skype lunch. This way we don't have to deal with going someplace, dealing with a waiter or waitress, you know, waiting for the bill, and then going home. We could just have a casual lunch, talk, maybe even not talk. Sometimes we didn't really talk that much. But I have an idea I was just thinking of, is that, now this is almost homework, so I don't mean it in this way, but if you want, the great thing about Zoom is, or these conversations are recorded, or we're on Squadcast right now, these conversations are recorded. So one thing you can do, and I always encourage people to do multiple things at the same time without multitasking. So what I mean is, we could schedule a lunch and it could be topic oriented. So I could say to you, Uni, like, who were the five best Nobel Prize winners of any category and who were the worst five Nobel Prize winners? You have your five, I have my five, and each one we go over and we discuss and learn or argue or talk about it. And then we have a transcript. Now we have a book. So we get the transcript. We you know, edit it to take out the ums and the ahs and have it make a little more sense. We have an intro that we write and an outro for each guest. And at the end, you could self-publish on Amazon. You just upload what you have. And it could be a paperback, a Kindle, an audio book, because the audio book is the recorded, you know, Zoom lunch. And at the end, maybe it's called The Five Best and Worst Nobel Prize Winners of All Time. And people love reading about lists like that and learning and then arguing about them and debating them. So, you know, that's quick
a
way
to
write and self-publish a book. Yeah. I don't know enough about Nobel Prize winners. Okay. Well, just real quickly, and then we'll do it some other time. But who do you think are the best two Nobel Prize winners of any category?
Oh, I think Bertha von Suttner is probably my preferred Nobel Prize winner. She won in 1905, though, but she was the, you know, the star of the peace movement in Europe back then, and was really the inspiration for Alfred Nobel to create all of his prizes in the first place. So I think she is.
I remember her from your book. She had a close relationship with him. But was she successful in that World War I happened a decade later? And that was the worst war up to that in terms of just human damage in history. So successful was she?
Yeah, no, exactly. All that happened after her time. But so not extremely successful. And then I was going to say that Gandhi would have been my all-time favorite, but he never won the Peace Prize, and such a tragedy, but he never won it. Who else is a good one? Who is your favorite or any of the prizes?
You know, without doing any research, the first one that comes to mind is Marie Curie, because she had to, you know, deal with the scientific community that looked down on women, and you know, and she was married to a scientist who could easily have suppressed her her interests and research. And she won in two categories. She won in physics and I think chemistry. So I don't know anything about what she won for radioactivity in physics. I forget what she won for or in chemistry, but it's just, there's not that many people who won two Nobel Prizes in two different categories. And I want to say Einstein, but I'm only saying that because that's because with lack of anybody else to say, I'd have to research that. And then the worst for me, which I learned in your book, was that woman from Myanmar who won the Nobel Peace Prize and then started a genocide right afterwards. Like, it's almost as if it gave her permission. But anyway, Uni Turritini, thank you so much for talking about loneliness. You've certainly helped me. You gave lots of advice on specific actions one can take. And you have a course on this. If they go to uniturritini.com, your name is UNNITURRETTINI. But if they Google Uni and the Nobel Prize, they'll see your name. And Jay, thank you for being honest about your loneliness, although I'm a little upset you didn't talk to me more about it. Although I guess maybe I always seemed like I was in a rush to stop talking to people because so many people were talking to me.
Yeah, you're so, like, Jay, stop talking. Stop talking.
No, I never said that. I always listen, but sometimes I wasn't always there. But anyway, thanks both of you for being on the podcast, and thank you, Uni, for coming on again. And
such
next time, let's pick our top five best and worst Nobel Prize winners and talk about them. And
of course, you
should listen to some of the conversations I've had with Nobel Prize loser Brian Keating.
Absolutely.
Who wrote a book called Losing the Nobel Prize. He is he's the smartest loser I know.
Mm-hmm. I know.
So thanks so much. And thank you, Jay.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, James. Thank you, Jay.
Hear that? It's the call of the Crave. And when the Crave calls, you know what to do. Try the $5 bacon bundle, because the only thing better than a White Castle slider is a White Castle slider topped with crispy hickory smoked bacon. So pick any two of either the bacon cheese slider, 1921 bacon cheese slider, or chicken bacon ranch slider. And also get a small fry for just $5 with the $5 bacon bundle. White Castle. Follow your Crave.